So, but I also want to point out to you, and this typically happens regardless of denomination, it happens to most churches I go to. This front area here typically is left for somebody else. What a gracious move on your part. I don't know who those people are. I'm sure you're saving it for when they come. But I also want to make mention to those of you who braved it enough to come down and be this close to it all, that the anointing is like double down here. Yeah, it's like double. If you have, my wife and I, we don't feel like guests. I don't feel like a guest. I always am comfortable when I come to the King's Chapel. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Now, he just gave you a walkthrough on this. It's not like you ought not be able to work this out. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, wherever that presence of the Lord is, you should be able to be at home. Amen? And so, I just want to thank you all for having us this morning. You tell a lot about a church and its pastor, but you tell a lot about a church by its pastor. Paul says in Corinthians, we don't need letters of accommodation. You are our written letters. And each time we've visited, whenever we've come, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm just here worshiping with you, the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this place. And that can only come down the pike. Amen? If you have your Bibles with you, I know that makes you feel uncomfortable, Bill, but it's where my heart is. Okay. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 1. There's some of you all are sitting there getting a tad bit nervous because there is a black man who is the pastor today, and he has a towel and a microphone, and he's been asked to speak. Now, I want to dispel any of the myths and rumors that you might associate with those characteristics, okay? That doesn't mean we're going to be here till Thursday. Just doesn't mean that. We'll be out of here by Tuesday for sure. For sure. But if you have your Bibles with you, I'm only kidding. We won't be here till Tuesday. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 1. I have become very, very concerned about this culture that we live in, the church, and its presence or lack of, and what we see on an increasing basis, the darkness that is in the land, the deeds of darkness. It's hard to get up on any morning, any day, and if you have to listen to the TV, hear that something has happened, some deed of darkness has happened across the land. And when it's away from us, it touches us, but not nearly as much when it's right at home. How many of you all have had darkness hit your own home or in your own walk at some? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it gets a little bit more personal when we see it. And so God has certainly accounted for how we deal with things when that darkness mounts. We have that darkness, if you will, of political unrest. Anybody familiar with that darkness? We have that darkness that deals with racial unrest. Anyone familiar with that? Economical unrest. I mean, it's just over and over again, and it multiplies. And if truth be known, even in this place and here this morning, it instills some fear in us. What do we do? It's easy to come and do this for an hour or so and then go back home, but the darkness doesn't stop, does it? So now, because I'm not a guest, I can be at home. Who, if you're visiting today for the very first time, do you mind just raise your... For the very first time? Please put your hands together for these people who raise their hands. Yeah, and here too? My Lord, listen, we have something in common. I mean, I'm a guest of sorts. But I want to let you know, don't get uncomfortable, I'm not Bill. People mistake us a lot, but I'm not him. I'm a little taller than he is, but I'm not here. But we're glad to have you here this morning. And I'm going to speak this morning as though I'm family. Will you all let me do that? So when you're family, you can go around and say about anything, can't you? That'd be amen. I mean, you all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you can pretty much say anything and then go on about your business and leave that which has been said for the people to deal with who have heard it. That's how I'm going to be this morning, hopefully. I'm concerned about what seems to be the lack of light in this culture that was supposed to be bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his church. not the church building, but by his church. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to your neighbor and say, I am the church. Yeah. It's not the building. And the church doesn't have its cookie cutter print, if you will. Comes in all shapes and sizes and flavors. Amen? Which is what I love about the church. The God we serve, how wonderful is he? We sang about him this morning. You telling me he doesn't have a crayon box of like a billion colors in it? And somehow he puts it all together and harmonizes it. And we say, boy, that's beautiful. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I might cry before the day is over. I get a little intimate about what I'm saying because it was that God that gave me an opportunity to see Christ out of his creation. We are part of his creation. And so when I look left, right, up, or down, or whatever, in a horizontal manner, I see Jesus. Does anybody see Jesus? I mean, it's easy to see the darkness, but can we see Jesus in the darkness? When you see Jesus in the darkness, that can bring comfort, that can bring peace, that can, and it should, bring the love out of you. Because our hope is a guaranteed hope if we know him. It's a guaranteed, it's not a wish or I hope it will come to pass. It means that when he made a promise, he keeps that promise. And that's the hope we want to speak about this morning. Did I tell you where to turn in Colossians? I did that so you wouldn't get ahead of me. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want to deal with this impaired vision that the church seems to have. And there's a reason why we've gotten that way. And unfortunately, some of us that sit in here this morning are in that mode. And I'm hoping that when this is all over and done with on Tuesday, you will be able to be moved. I don't know why I thought about this, but there's a picture. I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but some of you will know what I'm talking about. Anybody know who Mr. Clean is? Yeah. And they used to bring this commercial on TV that, and they show you a drain pipe that was like clear glass. Anybody with me so far? Have I lost? I lost a lot of people there. No, anyway. But if you use this product, Mr. Clean, and you put it in the sink, it would clean out all of the stuff that you don't know that is accumulated there. Anybody tracking with me? Because some of you are looking at me like I got two heads. But anyway, this Mr. Clean agent, whatever it is, it works while it's in that drain. And then you run water down it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe this is the group over here that knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, and you put in the water in it. And then after a while, when it starts working, the water breaks through, and all of a sudden you see this major flush going on. I don't know. I just get a joy of seeing that flush taking place. I do. Because in the spirit, it's the same way. We get a lot of stuff plugged up in us that just hangs us up. And we need to get some cleaning agent. And I only know one guaranteed cleaning agent. And that's the word of God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the word of God is the cleansing agent that helps us to be washed clean. You with me so far? Did I tell you where to turn to in Colossians? Chapter 1. I'm going to read two verses. I only have 3 points I want to leave with you this morning. But under all of those 3 points, I have about 300 comments I want to make under each one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And as a little backdrop to this, Paul is incarcerated when he writes this letter to the church at Colossae. And these are believers that he doesn't know necessarily personally, but a report has come to him from Epaphras, a servant, a ministry team leader of his. And he is giving Paul a report on what has taken place in the faith of this church, the Colossians. And I would dare say it would be said the same thing about the church at the King's Chapel. The church at the King's Chapel. What is Centerville saying about the church at King's Chapel? Oh, if we are the true church, and this goes back to addressing the lack of light in the culture. I'm going to close my eyes. If you believe that there seems to be a lack of godly light in the culture, just raise your hand. Yeah, that must have been at least, okay, that made it 100. 100 of you or so believe that there is seemingly a lack of light. Well, let me say how God has designed this thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Your light shines if you're in Christ Jesus. Your light shines if you're in Christ. He has given you the ability to shine. But there is something that happens when the Word of God meets the Holy Spirit in your heart, and it starts making you act a certain way. If you're with me this morning, that would have been a good place to say amen. There is something about the Word of God being in your heart when the Holy Spirit comes and he lights you up. Remember on the road to Emmaus when the disciples were walking with him and he opened up the scriptures to them? And you know the comment that was made? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Yeah, you can't be around the Word of God and you can't have the Word of God in you. The Holy Spirit is not going to take residence just for you to sit in these wonderful blue chairs on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen. Yeah, love me like that. Come on, love me like that. Yeah. It's impossible for the God of the universe who hung all the stars, and we don't know how many of them are up there, but it's a bunch of them. Somebody say amen. Scientists haven't told us the exact count yet because guess what? They keep finding more and more and more and more. So if I said a billion, gazillion, bamillion, whatever that is, it still would be incorrect. But you know what the God of the universe whose presence is in this place right now? The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. You know what the Word of God says and testifies about that God? He says he hung every last one of them up there. Yeah, Isaiah 40. Who said amen? But we're going to have church here this morning. He hung everyone, and then he took a roll call. Ooh. He named every star. He named every star. And when he took roll call, the scriptures in Isaiah 40 says, not one of them was missing. Oh, how wonderful is that? Now, why do I make reference to that? That God is in this place, this moment. So if you are a child of God, I am going to say something to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is my belief, my prayer, and that's what I've been preparing for, that ought to make your heart burn within. And it is also my prayer that when you leave this place today, you leave changed, and that you change wherever you're going. Because we have agreed that the culture is in need of light. Light provides the path. It shows the world how to go. If we belong to him, we already know how and where to go. All of us in here are obedient every time the Lord speaks to us. Amen? Don't say amen. No. Think about it. Yes. He says, ye are light. Ye are the light of the world. Not lights, but light. And so that means collectively, we provide the path for the world. How many of you have complained about stuff you've seen in the world in the last 48 hours? I appreciate your honesty. Yeah, me and you, we raised our hand because I don't know, whatever. So, yeah. And so as a believer, if you're not affecting that foolishness with the light that is within you, stop complaining. Because God has prepared us to be able to be light where we are. And it provides vision for those who can't see. It provides flavor as salt for those who can't taste. We hear this question all too often after Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and gave the gospel to a world that had never known Jesus Christ. And at the end of that, the question was raised the same way it's being raised today. What must we do? Well, who do you think they were asking that question to? Not among themselves, because the world doesn't have the answer. The religious mob doesn't have the answer. The answer can come only from one place. Do you believe me what I'm saying to you? The answer can only come from one place. I stand before you and I can say that to you because when I was looking for answers in many different places, cocaine being a primary pursuit, whether it was pot, whether it was drinking, whatever it was, whether it was chasing women, now you are beginning to look piously. The amens have stopped. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, I'm just giving you a little glimpse into my life. When I began to look for answers in those places, those answers that the world provides does not satisfy. So I needed a drink of water. Oh, and I got it. I thank my God I got it. That would never make me thirst again. Did I tell you where in Colossians to turn to? Chapter 1, we're going to preach here in a minute. Chapter 1 and verse 9, let me read these words to you. Pen by Paul, by the Holy Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this whole book is a wonderful book to read. I encourage you to do it. One thing about it that I love, once you become a child of God, you want to know how to be a child of God. And there's a relationship that takes place between you and your Heavenly Father that just begins to transform your life. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work within your life, when you apply it, your life changes. Let me say this to you. It has to change. Otherwise, you're calling God a liar. How many of you are bold enough to call God a liar? That's not where I can hang out. Yeah. You know, when you put suds in the water and just plain water, the dish, you know what I'm talking about? That changes the water, doesn't it? Yeah, it changes it right before your eyes. We get soap suds. This is good stuff. I know it is, man. Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Well, when the Word of God gets in us and the Holy Spirit works in us, lives change. Light goes off. And the way is made known. And so Paul has this impact by the testimony of this church that has so touched his life. That when the news of how they were living Jesus came to him, he says, I never stop praying for you. And let's take a moment just to look at the content of that prayer. He says, first of all, we didn't cease praying for you. And here's what he asked, that they would be filled. That they would be filled. Now, if you're taking notes, and you should be, because I'm going to say something important before this day is over. I know that sounds arrogant, but I'm just saying I'm going to give you the Word of God. Word of God is important. Somebody say amen. Okay. So that word fill takes on complete, lacking nothing. It's a very similar reference to it in Ephesians chapter 5, 19, when he says, do not be consumed with wine, but with be controlled, be led by, in all of your ways, thoughts, what have you, by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. He says that you would be filled, that you may be filled, full, complete. It's when we have this searching, if you will, for answers as believers, that we are not filled with all knowledge and spiritual wisdom, which comes, again, only from one place, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God satisfies. The Word of God satisfies. I'm not talking about books written about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Word of God satisfied. Men, if you're in this place, listen to me. I want you to repeat this word after me. Say this word, intimately. Let me ask this group of men. Men, say intimately. Oh, yeah. Well, there is a call upon us as we're being filled and consumed by the Word of God to become intimate with our Lord. And that was a word that I had to learn. I used to say it just like you all. My God, did he ask us to say intimately in here? I had to learn. But you know what God did? He gave me a wife. You're talking about a God in heaven. He gave me a wife whom I didn't deserve and saw need to contribute 35 years into this relationship to develop intimacy. There is a oneness that intimacy provides. Yeah. And then you don't go it alone. There's an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that he's called us to be a part of. That is the relationship of relationships. Don't even think you're going to get this horizontal relationship piece worked out if you don't have the vertical one in place. Without an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to convey that horizontally, you're just going to have things you think ought to work. And back to my men again, you ever had some of them thoughts that you thought were going to work and they did not? Ooh. That would have been a great place just to say amen. Because I know in your homes you think you have all the answers, right? And if you think that you're not thinking that right, let me just ask the wives. But we won't go there because I don't have time, and that'd be for another day. And intimate, be filled. Well, what is it that he wants us to be filled with? Be filled with the knowledge of his will. This is his will, men. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the knowledge of his will. Be filled with that. I was filled with a whole lot of worldly ways. Anybody relate to that? Are you all going to get excited about this morning, or am I going to have to really start preaching here in a minute? Listen. I used to get full of the world's knowledge. Yeah. And the world's knowledge leads you to one place, to an unsatisfying place in your own heart, because you keep trying to fill it with stuff. One of the worst things that could ever have happened, I'm getting ready to lose a ton of you right now, but that's okay. I got to do what I got to do. Worst things that could have ever happened to us was social media. Oh, yeah, that's an amen right there. Well, okay, now listen. Social media takes the place of us being able to do this. Hey, you guys stay with me here. Your social media takes the place of us being able to do this, because God designed relationships. He wants us to do this in an intimate way, vertically and horizontally. He wants us to be able to allow ourselves to be equipped by the shepherds of the land so that we can do the work of the service. Just check it out, Ephesians 4:12, so that we can do the work of the service and encourage one another with the word, not with Twitter. Not with Snapchat, Chad. Did I say that right? Yeah. Oh, you don't even, But you know, those things are not evil. But my Lord God, there is no way in the world that you can have 500 plus friends on Facebook. Impossible. We have a tough time servicing just one friend. So, worst thing could ever happen to those things that take away from an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior and an intimate relationship with the saints. And this is what Paul says in Colossians. He says, I heard of your testimony. It's back early in verse 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. He says, I heard about your faith, which is your love for the Lord, and I heard about your love for the saints. Your love for the saints, one another. This was a testimony that was in the Roman Empire at that time, which was considered the world. That was the testimony of the church at Colossae in that time. What is the testimony of the King's Chapel in this time? We agreed the culture is screaming for help. What must we do? And the King's Chapel branch of the kingdom of God has answers about what we must do. Yes. Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It says in verse 9, spiritual wisdom. It's that adjective is making the distinction between wisdom and spiritual wisdom. Feel free to hold up that big sign that says clock, okay, because this does, I mean, I get excited whether you all are or not. Spiritual wisdom is different from man's wisdom. Spiritual wisdom can come only from one place, And Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians tells us, what man knows the spirit of a man except the thoughts of a man, if you will, the motives of a man, except the spirit that's within him? It's the Holy Spirit taking the thoughts of God and connecting them with spiritual thoughts and spiritual words to be able to express to us in our hearts spiritually. And let me just say this real quick as we talk about spiritual wisdom and knowledge. It's different than anything you will ever experience. We've got some pretty smart people in this place. Just the law of averages would have that. Pretty smart people. And your intelligence and your knowledge is built upon what you have been able to accumulate and grasp over the years, and you translate that and process that in terms of understanding. But that is completely different from the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The understanding that Paul tells us about, and also that Proverbs speaks about, is in all thy getting, acquire knowledge. And here's a beautiful thing that he says. The way you acquire knowledge is acquire knowledge. This is not hard. The way you get the wisdom of God is be in pursuit of the wisdom of God. How many times have we tossed away instructions that come with something? Okay, I'm guilty. Guilty as all get out. Because I think I know how it works. I don't need those stinking, can I say stinking in here? Don't need those instructions. I got this figured out. Well, with the Word of God is different. You didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll be a Christian today. No, the Spirit of God was in pursuit of you, and he sent somebody across your path to tell you about the gospel. Hearing the gospel, understanding grace. Hearing the gospel and understanding the grace. The knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I don't have time to unpack this, but I do want you to write this down. And I hope that you will make a promise that nobody's going to knock on your door and check and see if you kept it or not. But I want you to write down Proverbs chapter 2. And there are about 6 verses that I want you to read sometime today. And I promise you, if Bill will give you my email, I want to hear back from you to tell me this is what the Lord said about. If you read this passage, it will literally change your life. Because if we're on a path of getting wisdom and knowledge from different places, and we do multiple places, that stuff doesn't produce the will of God. But if we're going to produce the will of God, we've got to get the knowledge that produces that, and that comes from the Word of God. So please, write that down. Let it get down in you, and let it speak to you. He says, in that passage, and I'll just lift one, he says, once you have done these other things, he says, then you will be able to discern the fear of the Lord. One of the reasons why we have this accumulated darkness in the land, there is no fear of the Lord. Not afraid of him, but there's no reverence for him. Do you know that the reverence of God, when you have reverence for God, it actually kicks off an aroma? It kicks off a fragrance? When you walk into a unique group, and even when you walk into a group of your own, they say, what's that smell? Well, hopefully, it's a good thing, but I'm saying, there is a spiritual flavor that we set off when we're in the presence of others. And Paul even distinguishes it even more in Corinthians when he says, to the one, it's a fragrance that says, hey, you need to get away from me because you smell like Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus yet unless you tell them. Somebody say amen. Yeah, they don't know it's Jesus yet unless you tell them. Somebody say amen. They don't know it's Jesus yet unless you tell them yes. Because the fragrance is saying something to them. And he said, that other group, man, when you smell like Jesus, they do this number. They want to know more. They want to be next to you. They want to connect. They want to bond. You find somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and you get next to them, tell me they won't gravitate to you. Man, they'll start throwing church words on you. You'll just be excited. That's just the way it is. There's a kindred spirit in all of that. And when that connection comes together, It sets off light. And people look over at you and say, what is wrong with you people? That's what the world is saying. What is wrong? And let me tell you, I say right back to them, I am in love with Jesus. Now, it may not convey just like that, but here's something to think about. I just want to drop this in your spirit because this is wonderful. This hit me the other day, many days ago, but it hit me. Think about this. Just think about this for one moment. We get all hung up on slavery. I get it. Bad scar on the country. Somebody say amen. We got other scars, but that's just one of them. And we saddle that horse. No need to ride that one. Check this out. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? He set you free so you could become a slave. Somebody say amen. Being a slave is not a bad thing. It's when you choose to be a bondservant or a bondslave when you say, I surrender my will, I surrender my ways because I want Jesus to be my Lord. Woo, my Lord. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't any of you all go out tomorrow and say, hey, I'm in favor of slavery. Don't go there, okay? That's not good. You have to be wise. And all that getting, get understanding, get wisdom, get knowledge. But be wise. What I'm saying is people ought to recognize. Paul says it. He starts out most of his letters by saying, Paul, a bondservant who happens to be an apostle. That's a sweet spot. Paul just says, I got an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called me to do some things, but I got the intimate relationship first. Do you understand what I'm saying? I happen to be all of those other things. I'm a son of God who happens to be a husband. I'm a son of God who happens to be a father. I'm a son of God who happens to be a grandfather. I'm a son of God who happens to be a pastor. Is anybody hearing me in this place? Yeah. So it begins with a love affair that is built on the knowledge and the word of truth. And then finally, you all like to hear that word. I just throw it out there every night. I'm not stopping. I'm just throwing it out there because I know you like to hear it. Well, here's another one you like to. And in closing, did I not say Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6? Did everybody get that? You wrote it down, right? Yeah. My wife just hit me on the head. Okay, here we go. Lovingly. Paul says, why do we do all of this? Why do we want to be consumed and filled by the knowledge and the word of God? And it's not just academia. It's not just knowledge. If you just have the knowledge, I don't care if you can quote the Bible without missing a word from Genesis to Revelation. That's great. Wonderful you. Let me see you live just one verse of it. That's when I get excited. Yeah. See, when you the word of God became flesh and did what? He dwelt among us. And he gave us those who desired to that would believe and receive. He gave us the ability to be, the power to be, the authority to be sons of God. And so we should be that word that becomes flesh and dwell among those that we know. How many of you all have friends or people in your circle who are unsaved? That's worth a picture. How many of you all have people who are saved but confused? Oh, my Lord. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So what if you get to be the light and the salt for that person? Because God put you right there. There are places that you can go that I can't go. There are places that I can go that you go. I don't mean can't, but don't go. You know people that I know don't know, and I know people that you don't know. But guess what? We're light and salt where we are. And this wonderful thing of being connected says this. When one in the body rejoices, what? We all rejoice. When one hurts, we all hurt. Why? Because we're all connected. You got me for life. I mean, it's an eternal thing. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if I have always been this handsome and wonderful and perfect, but that's okay. You're stuck with me for life. Yes. You're my family. Look. You're my family. I'm your family. Together. Is anybody getting this? This is good stuff. We are a family. There is no lone ranger here to make this thing happen. God does it collectively. There's a whole church that's given a testimony in the world because of their faith in Christ and their love for the saints. He says he did all of this. He wants you to know all of this. He wants you to be full and controlled by the knowledge. He wants you to have the spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Why? Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And I do close on this. That word walk just means to live. Live in a manner worthy of the Lord. Listen. That was not a great story or just a great story about what took place on Calvary. That was truly the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for you and me and for the whole world. I got the privilege by the Spirit of God of hearing the gospel and having my heart quickened to receive it and then to live it. When I say live it, it's not me. It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word within me. I was an evil, wicked man, unlike any of you. I'm just giving you a look at my life. But when Jesus came, he changed me. I did not know this woman when I was, I knew her as an unsaved individual. And I fell in love with her unconditional spirit toward me. And I kept trying to push her away over and over again, not knowing that this was the woman that God was trying to give me. And some of you sit there and say, my God, but Pastor Milton, she's only 5'2". I know you're saying that. And you're 6'2". How could God have been putting you all together? No, let me say this. Then I heard the gospel. Then I heard the gospel, and my life changed. Then I got married because I understood what a woman was for, what a wife is. And it was all because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything that I could do in and of myself. Are you hearing me? There is love embedded in you all because you've known Jesus for a while that people have never tapped into yet. And I'm talking about in the midst of your own home. One thing about the love of Jesus Christ, when it comes out, it's contagious. It's unconditional. No one cares that I'm a foot taller than her. No one cares. How am I loving her? That you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What would that look like? If you believe that he died on the cross for you and you receive that blood in your own life, how should you walk before God? He's intervened in things and places and ways in your own life that you haven't even thanked him for yet. But his plan will never go thwarted. It will always be fulfilled. And he's patient. He'll wait. You mean even while I'm sinning and carrying on? David committed adultery and murder and kept that sin in his heart for about a year and 4 or 5 months. And he was still used of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when the day of accountability came forward, you know what he had? It's the same thing you and I have, if we're willing to do it. Stop making the fig leaves. That doesn't work. Proven. What he was willing to do is have a repentant heart. A repentant heart that says, hey, I have sinned against God. And once we have that manner of walk in place, it removes from our path those obstacles that the enemy wants to use. Well, you can't be a believer because you did that thing. You can't be because you talked that way to some. Look, you call yourself. Those are condemnation statements by guilt statements by the enemy. And some of us are good at letting him use those statements. But I'm here today to tell you, you have been set free from those statements. You have been loosed, if you will, upon the earth. On that rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There is nothing can stop you and us as the church, not even sin. But let me also say this to you. There is no sin that God doesn't bring into accountability. whether he does it 2 seconds after you do it or whether he does it a year or so later with David, the thing he's interested in, he wants you to walk with him. And what he does, he cleans you up along the way. It's not getting right and then I'm going to go do something nice for the church. No, forget all of that. That's garbage. No. Let him clean you along the way. If you know you're going to heaven, that's done. The journey is the most important part. And when you're living that journey in a manner that's worthy of him, you'll love brothers and sisters who don't look like you, who don't talk like you. You'll encourage one another in Christ. You'll have relationships, husband and wife relationship, parenting relationship, employer-employee relationships that will just blossom and flourish because it brings glory to God. Listen, I'm going to end now. I never finish. I just stop. But I want to say this to you as I close. Those words in Colossians have been so rich in my time of preparation for this because I know it's spot on. It's where we live in this culture. But here's a question I want to ask you. As a member of the body of Christ at King's Chapel, what is your contribution to the testimony that's going out in the highways and byways of Centerville? I live right down the road about 8 miles. I want Centerville to know that I live in Centerville, Virginia. And I don't want them to know because of me. I want them to come and ask me questions because they see some kind of fruit on my tree that would say, man, that's not normal. How did that happen? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you think Pastor Bill is the one that's going to evangelize this whole area by himself, not going to happen. That's not even the call. He's called to equip you. And he wasn't putting you out on an evangelism track. No. You don't even have to go to evangelism class. Now, it's good that you go, but you don't have to. Guess what? Let me tell you something. The only thing you have to do in order to evangelize the world is meet Jesus. Truly meet Jesus. When you get a good deal at Kohl's, everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it, right? Come on. Some of you are sitting on Kohl's cash right now. Hot in your pocket, Kohl's cash. No, and when you get a good deal, you kind of like want to flaunt that. Hey, you know, I got all of this. And you didn't even know you needed all of this. But you got a deal on it. Are you walking in a manner as a church that's making Centerville, Northern Virginia, take notice? Hey, you're one of those. You're from King's Chapel, aren't you? Don't tell me that can't happen because it can. In fact, the stage is set for it to happen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that even right now as we've concluded this message, Lord, that you're combing the hearts of your people in this moment. And Father, you're making petitions upon their hearts right now, just as we are making petition upon you. You've called us to do that, Lord, that we would have the power to surrender to you, Lord God. Those things that hinder us and that hinder our testifying of your glory. And so, Father, my prayer is that you will take this message today, burn it in the hearts of your people. And Father, that in that response, as they begin to respond to you, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn it back to you, yes. But I want us to take this moment to reflect upon that word and let the Holy Spirit do what he desires to do in each of us. God bless you.
Thank you, Milton. At this time, we're going to continue.